WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Delays and cancellations piling up at airports as the government shutdown enters its seventh day. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
We are seeing air traffic control staffing issues now several days in a row, often in places that don't typically have staffing issues, like here in Phoenix.
President Trump says he won't let lawsuits in places like Oregon and Illinois stop him from sending in federal troops to tackle crime.
We're going to make Chicago really great again. And we're going to stop this crime. Then we're going to go to another one, and we're going to go city by city. We're going to have safe cities.
Demonstrators in Chicago accuse federal agents of using excessive force. Today marks 2 years since Hamas attack on Israel that killed around 1,200 people. CBS's Deborah Patta from the site of the Nova Music Festival.
The main memorial is being organized by bereaved families and not the government, reflecting deep division over Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's leadership.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. No more pennies at Quick Trip. Connie Feldman has more.
The company just announced they're going penniless. Cash transactions will now be rounded down to the nearest 5 cents. So if you're paying with cash, you could actually save a couple cents. You'd pay a buck, for example, if your total is $1.04. Credit card and digital transactions, though, will stay the same. In a statement, the company says they made the move because their penny supplies are exhausted and they haven't gotten enough guidance from the U.S. Department of Treasury after the decision to stop minting new pennies. According to its website, Quick Trip serves almost 12 million people every week. It has stores across Wisconsin, Minnesota, northern Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, and South Dakota.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers signed a bipartisan bill into law on Friday in an effort to crack down on the potential misuse of artificial intelligence. Wisconsin Act 34 targets the use of artificial intelligence to create or share explicit photos of a person generated without their consent. The law specifically defines synthetic intimate representation and prohibits publishing an artificially generated representation of an identifiable person with the intent to harass or intimidate them, and expands the crime of representations depicting nudity. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources held a public hearing on a proposed rule change for PFAS standards on Thursday. The forever chemicals have become a troublesome issue across the state as municipalities seek to remove them from their drinking water. The rule change considered last week would bring the state's PFAS standards in line with the Environmental Protection Agency standards. State law says Wisconsin's drinking water program cannot have looser standards than federal requirements under the Safe Drinking Water Act. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Another Brewers comeback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers with a 7-3 win over the Cubs last night in Milwaukee. The crew now up 2-0 in the best of 5 series, which now moves to Chicago tomorrow afternoon just after 4 o'clock. Manager Pat Murphy.
How does this team have the best record in baseball? Then nobody predicted they'd be over 500. And then we have all the injuries. Certainly nobody was banking on us.
Home runs from Andrew Vaughn, Jackson Churio, and William Contreras, who says he dedicates it to the fans.
I'm going to do everything for the Brewer fans. I'm going to do everything for my teammate. I want to be one of the best on the plate. I want to be the best catcher. They have to look control how play. I want to bring that energy too for the team. And now it's showtime.
The Cubs now down 2-0.
After getting off to a great start, those mistakes were 2-3-run homers is going to be, you're not going to win playoff games giving up 2-3-run homers. That was just too much to overcome.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, chilly lows near 30, some widespread frost developing. That frost will hang around early on Wednesday, otherwise sunny with highs near 60. Currently, it's 44.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We could do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Jim Flanagan joins to talk a Wisconsin date. Then a mystery guest drops by. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
This one should be good. Here we go. All right.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. He still isn't wearing a cowboy hat. I don't know what's up with that. I'm a little upset. Maybe he's got boots on. Maybe that's it.
I got the boots.
There we go. He's got the boots. He's the founding editor of Up North News. It's Pat Kreitlow.
That would be me. I think we're going to go visit the Fort Worth Stockyards today and get a feel for, you know, what those cowboys do with the longhorn steers and things like that. My daughter who lives down here can't wait to show it off. So
she's really excited about that.
She is. Well, I've seen some video when she's taken other guests there. So apparently it's a big deal. So I will be talking about cattle tomorrow. I promise. But I do have the boots. I actually do have a very good looking black cowboy hat. I don't have any need to wear it here.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything that's deserving of having to pack that thing away.
Oh, so. You didn't bring it?
I did not bring it. But,
dude.
You know, I might see a better one. So
you might see a better one. I'll give you that.
I might have two cowboy hats by the time this is all said and done. Nice to have you back here. It's just about, well, it's 7:07 right now. And coming up this hour, we're going to be talking to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association and dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser. We'll talk about the apple crop in Wisconsin. We'll talk about the trade war. We're going to talk a little bit about that in this segment as well. And the ways that the government shutdown is being made worse by people like Donald Trump and his transportation secretary, Sean Duffy. That's all coming up. First, let's check the mailbag here. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear skies, 40 degrees right now. Yesterday, he was doing paperwork for the mowing season. Took pictures of the farmers that leased my family's property that were chopping up corn. We talked about Reading Rainbow in the last segment, and Alicia was all over that in YouTube, saying Reading Rainbow is very much a millennial thing, so that's great. We were talking about the Ozzy Osbourne documentary coming out, and Tony puts up, there's just always something interesting about a guy who eats bats, you know, just saying. On Banned Book Week, which you can read about in the Up North News Daily newsletter, Alicia says that the Milwaukee Public Library has a great TikTok on banned books. The Milwaukee Public Library has had a lot of great TikToks. And so, yes, I would definitely be looking forward to reading about that. Let's see. Tony also was expressing his happiness with the great emotions of Jacob Mizorowski coming out of the bullpen yesterday. And Roger from Stevens Point says, I'm grateful for Andrew Vaughn's home run, which was the first inning equalizer in yesterday's game. Yes, absolutely. For folks that might have missed it, and, you know, some of us did go to bed early, but it felt like the game was well in hand. The Brewers defeated the Cubs last night in Game 2 of the National League Division Series. Final score, 7-3, and all the runs for the Brewers came on home runs this time, compared to Game 1, where the Brewers scored 9 times, and none of them came off of home runs. But yeah, you had the Andrew Vaughn three-run homer in the bottom of the first to offset a Cubs three-run homer in the top of the first. You had a William Contreras solo shot, and then you had Jackson Churio with his own three-run homer to help the Brewers beat up the Cubs and take a 2-0 lead in the series. And so they are just one win away from going to the National League Championship Series, where they will face the winner of the Dodgers-Phillies series, which the Dodgers are up 2-0 on Philadelphia. It was a bullpen game for the Brewers because Brandon Woodruff is out with an injury, so Aaron Ashby opened things up. He did give up that three-run homer in the first, but after that, how's this for a bullpen game? Nick Mears, Jacob Mizorowski, Chad Patrick, Jared Koenig, Trevor McGill, and Abner Uribe. 7 1/3 innings of shutout relief and allowed just one hit. And just a couple of base runners. Jacob Mizorowski threw 3 scoreless innings to earn the win. And he had pitches that topped out Parker at 104.3 miles an hour. And I know it sounds like hyperbole, but I really do. I'll say it again. One of these times, you're going to hear the announcers going, "Oh, his arm fell off. His arm's just laying there in the grass." So, yep. I could see that happening.
It's like a Toy Story or something when Woody's arm falls off.
Exactly. And he just waves it and plugs it back in and throws it at 105 miles an hour, you know, the next time around. Could totally see that happening. I was a little concerned when he ran all the way to first base on a ground out to make the play himself, but he had acknowledged after the game he was just feeling so pumped up he was afraid he would overthrow Andrew Vaughn at first base, which, you know,
he's done before.
I could totally see that happening, and I would go crazy if that happened.
Yeah, he did the right thing. I was worried that he was going to blow out a hamstring when he jumped up in the air celebrating.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. I mean, because, again, you can get some really goofball injuries, like people who've stomped on home plate coming in from a home run and twist an ankle or something.
Did you see during the Phillies game before the Brewers game that an umpire definitely pulled a hamstring while making an out call?
No. Oh, no.
It was in all of its slow motion glory, too, because it was a replay review.
Embarrassing.
And he just goes, he punches him out, and all of a sudden he's like, oh!
Oh, no.
That sucks.
See, even if you're an umpire, you got to do those stretches, you know. No, it was one of those cases where, again, the Dodgers-Phillies game ran a little long, and so they started the Brewers-Cubs game over on TNT before moving it back to TBS. We're here at my daughter's place using one of those satellite systems that doesn't really, you know, you don't pick the channel so much as you pick the game. And then it goes to that channel. But of course, if it's on a different channel, good luck going to find it. I mean, we did eventually find a way to find the right channel to do that. But it's one of those TV things that just always bugs me. It's like, just put the game where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you should. But you know what? You don't need to worry about it when you listen to it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Funny that you should say that, because game three, oh, I've got my graphic is wrong on there. Game three of the series will be at Wrigley Field, and that will be tomorrow afternoon. The pregame will get started at 3:30 on several Civic Media stations, Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine Park Falls, and Hayward, where you could conceivably see the Brewers sweep. Now, again, if they don't, then game four will be at Wrigley. And then if needed, a deciding game five would be back at American Family Field come Saturday. So there, again, it'd be nice to wrap it up tomorrow, but you just got to win one out of the next three.
Yeah. As long as we win it at Chicago, I will be happy.
That would feel really nice. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could totally get into that. So, again, congrats to the Brewers for a nice victory there and giving us a little distraction from some of the realities of our headlines today, which include, you know, a trade war, that include a government shutdown and things like that. You had President Trump saying yesterday, indicating that he would be supportive of doing some kind of a bailout plan for America's farmers, since China's buying nothing, not the $12 billion worth of soybeans, for example, that they typically buy in a year, but zero. And so all these farmers have no market to go to with their beans and corn and everything else. So Trump's quote from yesterday was, "I'm going to do some farm stuff this week." That'd be the president of the United States telling you and making farmers feel real good, saying, "I'm going to do some farm stuff this week." The stuff is probably going to be some kind of checks that get sent to farmers to, you know, keep them from going out of business. It's the same thing that happened in 2018 when Trump started a trade war with China. It cost taxpayers $20 billion to help support farmers. And by the way, we got nothing for that. I mean, eventually China and the U.S., they just resumed trade slowly and eventually. But at the time, China went and got their soybeans from Brazil. And guess what they're doing right now? They're getting their soybeans from Brazil and Argentina, a country we just sent billions of dollars to in a government bailout. And Republican lawmakers told the New York Times that they think that a potential farm bailout this time around won't cost $20 billion, but cost more like $50 billion. And what gets me is how they say this so nonchalantly, like, well, you know, it might cost us $50 billion. The people who used to be described as fiscal conservatives, but don't think twice about this. It does not occur to them to say, hey, maybe this guy, the president, yeah, he says he's in our party, but he's driving up the debt. He's driving up budget deficits. He's not accomplishing anything with these tariffs. We're Congress. We can actually limit these tariffs and find another way to negotiate better trade deals. We could maybe do that, but they don't. Everybody's just going along with what one guy says, no matter how uninformed it might be, no matter how harmful it might be, because he's their guy. Take the last shutdown, which not only had the big farm bailout, but you also had air travel that was starting to get gummed up as air traffic controllers and people working TSA and others stopped showing up for work because they weren't getting paid. They were using sick days, vacation days. They weren't taking extra shifts. You would think, again, maybe this is something we want to avoid again. But we are heading that way again. And that's according to the U.S. Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, former congressman from up north, who knows a thing or two about bad budget deals and government shutdowns. And yet, what is he saying? He's basically threatening, promising that everybody's going to be facing travel delays. He says, and he's saying this in from the standpoint of safety, I guess. He says, quote, "If we think there's issues in the airspace, we will shut it down. We will close it down. We will delay." That's his way, I guess, of saying to Democrats, you guys ought to blink. You guys ought to cave or else there's going to be air travel delays. When, again, the better course of action would be for people like Sean Duffy to acknowledge that Americans actually don't want massive healthcare cuts and the government shutdown that you have forced as a result of it. Because air traffic controllers, they are required to work through the shutdown, but they're only going to get paid retroactively whenever the shutdown ends. And it was their failure to show up for work last time around that led to the eventual deal that ended the government shutdown on Monday. Duffy said that officials had seen, quote, a slight tick up in sick calls from controllers since the current shutdown began last week. The FAA has already started to slow traffic, did so at three airports yesterday using a ground delay program. That's a traffic management tool in which the agency holds flights from departing other airports if they are headed for one with limited capacity. And as somebody who has flown this week and has had to sit on the tarmac for a while waiting for takeoff, I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to that possibility again later this week, flying back out of Dallas later in the week if this thing continues to drag on. And all indications are it will continue to drag on. We'll find out for sure in a live report from Washington, D.C. in our next hour when we talk to Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom and also author of the Below the Beltline I'm sorry, Below the Beltway newsletter that you can get through Courier Newsroom. We'll talk to Cam Stevenson live from Washington, D.C., and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area about things that are happening in the Wisconsin state capitol. Again, that's all in our 8 o'clock hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes here, we will talk to Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart. A little more farm talk when we come back, especially emphasizing the apple harvest for this year. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Looking to turn your dream home into reality? K5 Construction is here to make it happen. From complete home builds to interior remodeling, decks and exterior upgrades, they handle it all. At K5, they focus on quality, excellence, and you. From design to final construction, they're with you every step of the way, on time and on budget. Whether it's your first home or your forever home, they're building your future. Build with confidence. Build with K5 Construction. Visit buildwithk5.com.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:23. Again, a pleasant start. Blue skies as the sun is rising. Temperature has actually gone down 3 degrees in the past hour. We are now at 41 degrees. So if you're just heading out, going to work, going to school, wherever it may be, may want to make sure you have that jacket. May be able to get rid of it. Still probably a light jacket afternoon. Should be a very pleasant afternoon here in Wausau. High temperature under sunny skies expected to be about 63 degrees. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
One topic that we have talked about quite a bit over the past year, of course, is the continuing investigation when it's come to the Dropbox and the removal thereof over a year ago from by Wausau Mayor Doug Denny. But it does appear that perhaps we are starting to go in the right direction when it comes to actually getting some sort of decision. And that's the big thing.
That's some good news to hear.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is we need to get to the bottom of it in terms of can you do this? Can you not do it? Because we do have other elections coming very, very soon, in fact.
Yeah.
You got the spring elections, including for the state Supreme Court coming up next April. Mm-hmm. Got WASA school district elections coming up as well. But the WASA Ethics Board continuing its investigation. And in fact, it looks as though we're going in the right direction in terms of finding some answers to the questions that we have. In fact, WXCO news reporter Isabella Nieto has been working on it, and here's the latest report that she has.
The WASA Ethics Board will move forward with their investigation into a complaint against Mayor Doug Dinney. The complaint was filed in January and claimed Dinney's removal of an absentee ballot box last year from City Hall violated the city ethics code. At a meeting last week, the board rejected requests to postpone the hearing again. The hearing is scheduled for this Friday, over a year since Dinney moved the drop box. Board Chair Calvin Dexter said one witness, who was subpoenaed to appear at the Friday hearing, requested to be excused from the hearing because they have plans for the holiday weekend.
I'm not very open to the idea that we should have another delay here. You know, I think it's time to get this thing dealt with.
Dexter says the witness claims they were not given sufficient notice of the hearing.
I mean, that's not to say we couldn't or shouldn't have gotten the new subpoenas out earlier, but I don't think there was any great surprise here to anyone.
Special Counsel Eric Larson confirmed that the mayor's attorney and an attorney who represents city employees scheduled depositions for City Attorney Ann Jacobson and City Clerk Caitlin Bernardi regarding the complaint. Dexter confirmed they still wanted the depositions.
The board appreciates those attorneys proceeding in good faith to accomplish the depositions at long last.
Both Jacobson and Bernardi had previously refused to sit for depositions due to an ongoing criminal investigation into the ballot box removal by the Wisconsin Department of Justice. The depositions were scheduled for yesterday. The board also confirmed the list and order of witnesses that will appear on Friday, including WASA Police Chief Matt Barnes and City Council President Lisa Rasmussen. The board also plans to deliberate in a closed session on October 15th at 4:30 p.m. before reconvening in an open session to discuss their next steps.
So that, again, is our WXCO news reporter, Isabella Nieto.
Great job, Isabella.
Talking about what the latest developments have been. And it was good to hear that these depositions were held yesterday involving City Attorney Ann Jacobson and City Clerk Caitlin Bernardi. Again, I have said this previously, that all the people that are public servants, and these are public servants that are working for the city, should have been sitting down for these depositions. The mayor and his attorneys deserve the opportunity to question these witnesses, mm-hmm. and the witnesses need to be able to have their voices be heard as part of the process to get all the information out. And I understand as well with the continuation of potential criminal investigations going on, but it just felt like, hey, these are, again, our public servants. They're being paid for by taxpayer dollars, and it's about time that we get their recollections on what was going on during this time frame in right. the public record, and we are able to move forward with these investigations and ultimately try to get a decision by the Ethics Board sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
So it does sound like this is continuing. It'll be very interesting to hear that the ultimate results of these depositions and the ultimate results of some of these witnesses and what they were able to see and hear and talk about. So, again, it does appear to be a rather significant step forward in terms of finally trying to get to a resolution of this case, because it has been a long time coming. Again,
yeah.
It was last September. We're now in October, more than a year since the drop box was removed in the run-up to the 2024 presidential elections.
At least we're finally getting some feet off the ground.
Exactly right. Time is 7:28 again. Lots of sunshine to start things off. Again, you see the sun is rising. It's one of those fall mornings where it's crisp out there. When you get out there, you're going to feel it on the skin. A chilly start. 41 degrees is the temperature, but we will get up to 63 with sunny skies before all is said and done. Coming up, we have the bottom of the hour information update included. It will be the farm report. Plus, a look at the weather and sports again. Big night for the Brewers. If you were in bed like I was before the game ended, the Brewers did win 7-3 after the Cubs.
I stayed up until the bottom of the sixth.
Cubs started fast, but then the Brewers came back quickly and now have a 2-0 lead. And the Brewers have a chance to clinch a spot in the National League Championship Series with a win at Wrigley tomorrow. We'll be back at 7:52 with another WXCO Morning Report segment. Back to Pat Kreitlow and Mornings with Pat Kreitlow next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Wisconsin lawmakers frustrated at proposed fee increases coming from the Department of Agriculture. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We'll have details on what one state legislator's advising farmers to do. That's next.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
State Senator Pat Teston is the chair of the Senate Agriculture and Tourism Committee, and he is asking all livestock operators to speak out against proposed fee increases that are now being asked for by the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Some fees would go up as much as 1,700%. And because of a recent Supreme Court ruling, Teston says his hands are tied to try to change it.
There is virtually nothing I can do, and it is so frustrating. And I can only imagine for those individuals who work in this industry, who are going to have their pocketbooks detrimentally impacted. I can't even imagine the frustration that they're feeling right now. And so, we're trying to do what we can to raise awareness and encourage people to reach out to the department. And I'm hoping they reverse course because this is absolutely a boneheaded maneuver.
Wisconsin Senator Pat Teston. Now, they're accepting comment at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection on these proposed livestock licensing fee increases until October 15th. If you want to find details, we've got them up on our website now, MidwestFarmReport.com. And you can also hear the rest of my conversation with Pat Teston on our playlist. Markets are next.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Monday, the barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese was down 4 at 175, and AA butter dropped 5.5 to 169.5 per pound. This morning, November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 6, 1697. December new crop corn up a penny at 422. November beans are up 2, 1019. July new crop wheat's unchanged, 555 a bushel. Just a quick market snapshot on a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, chilly lows near 30, some widespread frost developing. That frost will hang around early on Wednesday, otherwise sunny with highs near 60. Right now, it's 42.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Homeless veterans are facing a crisis in Chippewa Falls, and Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch will be here to tell us a solution on the horizon and the Brewers results and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Coming up in 1 hour, we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, and he helps put together Civic Media's new daily newsletter. Sign up for it at civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. All right, always nice to welcome back in a couple of friends talking to us about Wisconsin agriculture. That, of course, would be Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from the Merrill area up in Lincoln County, and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Great to see you both, as always. We're going to get to a very plentiful and variety-filled apple crop coming up in just a bit here. But Hans, I also wanted to, of course, take note of the government shutdown and its impact on farmers. And then there's also some upbeat news about it being National 4-H Week. So let's get the not so happy stuff out of the way first here. A government shutdown makes for, you know, a lot of political headlines, but it's got real life impact. And what does that mean for farmers across America, for example, with the Farm Service Agency offices closed?
Well, it sort of stinks, Pat, because the Farm Service Agencies are our local connection to the federal government and any federal government programs and so forth. And one of the things that happens this time of the year, of course, is that there's a lot of corn and soybeans being harvested. And what a lot of guys will do is especially when prices are low, they harvest those commodities, and rather than sell them at harvest low prices, they will borrow against them through the Farm Service Agency. Because it helps cash flow. And right now, if you try and call the Farm Service Agency, you get a recording that says that they're not there. So it does. It's very difficult because we don't have that resource to work with at a time of the year when, you know, we sort of need it. And I think the other thing to that I'd like your listeners to understand is that all those nameless, faceless, terrible bureaucrats that are getting laid off all the time are not just a bunch of people that live in Washington next to the Capitol. They're people that live in Wausau, Wisconsin, and in, you know, Chippewa Falls and all the places around. Our friends and neighbors are the ones who are right now sitting at home, and they would rather be at work. So it's not just the farmers that are being impacted, but it's the people in those offices.
Yeah, absolutely. And with those offices closed, it means farmers are not getting access to farm program signups, no disaster aid processing, no loan approvals, no access to market data that the government normally provides, and more. So I just wanted to get some of the real life impact of this ongoing shutdown. All right. It's 4-H week. Hans, I'll start with you and then over to Sheila. Talk about the significance of 4-H. Is it, again, for a city kid? For a city kid, they go, oh, that's something I've heard of, but was that something from the olden days of Wisconsin farming, or is that something still very relevant to rural life in Wisconsin today?
It's very relevant, and I think if you're a parent or a grandparent, please check out 4-H if you're not familiar with it, because there are just so many cool programs. Our kids have been in 4-H for, you know, years and years. And there's the usual things that people think of course, about bringing projects to the local county fairs and so forth. And that is a part of it. It's a big part of it. It's a really cool part of it. But there's also so many other things, like my children have taken advantage of really cool civic engagement type things and trips to, you know, exotic places like Washington, D.C. and New York and Philadelphia and so forth, and other places just right here in Wisconsin that I've chaperoned a couple trips for as well. And so it's a great opportunity for kids to learn leadership skills and really, you know, civic engagement and so forth. There's so many opportunities, educational opportunities and travel opportunities that 4-H offers that I think a lot of people just don't know about. And it's also a great place for grownups to get involved with, you know, with the rearing of our children as far as, you know, chaperoning these trips and so forth, because it does, by God, take a village.
It sure does. And Sheila, you know, for National 4-H Week, you talk as well about 4-H getting people ready for a career and frankly, just getting ready for life as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's all about celebrating our youth, helping them prepare for college and career and life readiness. You know, a recent study said that those children, those students involved with 4-H, likely to live life intentionally and with purpose, and three times as likely to participate in community service and volunteer in our communities. And as Hans mentioned, it's about leadership roles, planning events, running meetings, and organizing service projects. So support our local 4-H.
Absolutely. Again, for National 4-H Week. So we wanted to make sure that we made mention of those things. But let's also turn to something that's rather seasonal here. We have our share of apple orchards and products and varieties and things. And I mean, to be clear, I mean, it is a sliver of Wisconsin agriculture and, you know, national agriculture as well. But there's hardly anybody out there that wouldn't accept a slice of apple pie or have a glass of cider or, Sheila, just enjoy the experience of apple orchards in Wisconsin. So it may not be the biggest part of the ag industry, but it's one of the more visible ones and, frankly, one of the more enjoyable and delicious ones.
Absolutely enjoyable and delicious. And my favorite fall food is not only apple pie, but caramel apples. And, you know, traveling from orchard to orchard to see who has the best caramel apples, that's right up my alley. October is National Apple Month, and we celebrate that in promoting the consumption and appreciation of our Wisconsin apples. This started in 1904, but, you know, people enjoy eating fresh apples, picking apples from the tree, learning about the best ways to bake apple desserts, and just to experience apple cider donuts, fresh apple cider. So it's important for us to go out and support our family farms and pick up some apples along the way. There's some really cool apples up in your neighborhood, Pat, Apple Orchard, all on County Highway 00. Are you familiar with some of those orchards, Pat?
I have definitely seen them, and they are most certainly busy places this time of year. And so tell folks a bit more about what you can expect if you want to go visit some of these orchards.
Right. You have Bushel and Peck on Highway 00 in Chippewa Falls, and the Connell Family Orchard. Family Roots Orchard is the oldest orchard up in your neighborhood. And then there's Dixon's Apple Orchard, and it's really interesting about Mr. Dixon, Fred. He had started growing a famous champagne apple that he helps to create some apple ciders and some apple hard apple ciders with that champagne apple. And on our Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association website, we have a blog page that just was launched yesterday talking about all these different apple orchards, like the Little Farmer in Malone over in Prescott. If you want to take a drive, there's Young Acres. Avenue Orchard is up there in Eau Claire. Of course, in the Gays Mills area, we have Sunrise Orchards that also have activities, and you can actually see them sorting and washing their apples and pressing that apple cider. Over in the Elkhorn area, we have Apple Barn Orchard and Winery, and you know, several of our orchards are also wineries, just like Sequest Orchard, and Lattenbach Orchard up in Fish Creek. And then we have M&T Gibbsville Orchard in Sheboygan Falls. And then Heritage Orchard. They're known for their fresh apple cider in Chilton area.
Very
Do you
nice.
Like apple cider, Pat and Hans?
I like apple cider, and I like the hard cider as well. I was just going to ask Hans about that, if he's got a particular favorite apple product.
A good hard cider goes a long way, you know, after a hard day's work. But I wanted to mention Helene's Hilltop Orchard is 2 miles from my place, and absolutely a beehive of activity this time of the year. They do a wonderful job. They got lots of trees and a bakery, and it's just a total hotspot in our area this time of the year.
Yeah.
I love seeing Olivia and her husband, and they do great farm to table dinners, and I have toured their farm, and it's a beautiful bakery. So if you have a chance to visit Helene's Hilltop, get out there and enjoy the orchard.
For the hard cider now, we're turning to the adult portion of the apple discussion here. Again, it's a fermented beverage made from apple juice when the yeast converts the apple sugars into alcohol. And so, again, you've got different types, different flavor profiles. You're using different varieties with them. And so, Sheila, it's not a surprise that a place that, you know, started with, you know, the beer industry, but now we have our share of wineries in the area, that, you know, cider would also be a natural byproduct of some of the many good things we produce in Wisconsin.
Yes. And, you know, our farmers are innovative and they're creative. And so they always take a look at what they are producing and how can they add value to their crops. And by producing hard apple cider, that is just opening another market for them to sell their products.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the variety of products and how to use them, it's been a while since I learned this, but it took me a while to appreciate that, you know, not all apple varieties are created equal, and something that you might like to eat, you know, as a plain apple is not necessarily the best one for a pie or for jelly or something like that. And I know you shared with me a rather detailed chart of all the different apple varieties you can get and all the different ways you can use them, which is not to say you can't use them for everything, but, you know, some are going to taste better than others, I would imagine.
Absolutely, you know, and some of them are across the board because the chart was created by Sunrise Orchards and Gay's Mills. And so if you take a Honeycrisp apple right across the board, they're perfect for everything. Eating, pie, sauce, baking, freezing, jelly, salad, and pickling. But if you take something like the Red Wisconsin Delicious apple, they're known for eating and they're known for salads. So, you know, when you're going out to pick your apple, of course you want to pick for flavor, but also decide if you're buying your apples in bulk, maybe you're going to get a full bushel of apples. You want to look at how are you going to utilize those apples, and finding the apple guide variety and availability and uses chart is a perfect way to help you make your apples go a lot further and last all the way through the winter season.
Yeah, I will second properly. That. I will second that by noting that, it's something when you realize that Red Delicious apples are wonderful for eating, you know, right off the table there, but are not necessarily going to be the best thing to put in a pie, and then you discover something else that is. At the other end of the spectrum, you mentioned Honeycrisp is like perfect for everything. That's so true that I sometimes have to remind myself, Hans, to go shop for some other varieties. Man cannot live on Honeycrisp alone. Well, maybe I could, but you really should find out what else is the right thing for you. I've talked about Sherry's Apple Crisp being just amazing. Do you have a favorite, either a pie or something else that's your favorite apple product besides the beverages, Hans?
Well, I was going to say the hard cider. You took my answer. Look at me, Pat. Do I look like a guy that's averse to apple pie?
No.
You've
got that all-American look to you as any dairy farmer would here in Wisconsin. And again, to learn more, you can always check out the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association website. And there's so many other resources to learn more about apples in Wisconsin. We definitely appreciate the diversion to visit a virtual orchard here for a little while. Hans, thank you. Sheila Everhart, thank you so much as always. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you for supporting Wisconsin agricultural tourism and our family farms. We appreciate Civic Media.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, too. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom live on Capitol Hill coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
This October, art comes to life at the Healing Minds Art Show 2025, presented by NAMI Northwoods. From 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. October 9th through 11th at Art on Grand in Wausau, experience powerful works from local artists, musicians, and writers, each piece a tribute to healing and hope. On Saturday, meet mental health advocate Cody Green at a special book signing and catch a live performance by townsfolk, all while enjoying food trucks all 3 days of the show. Learn more at NAMINorthwoods.org.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. But when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:53, 42 degrees under sunny skies here on this Tuesday morning, October the 7th of 2025. Want to remind you, we're going to remind you throughout the next week or so that coming up a week from Thursday, coming up on the 16th of October, that we will be holding an open house here at WXCO.
That's right.
It'll go from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. You'll be able to stop on by. We are going to have some food available, courtesy of the Mint here in downtown Wausau.
And they have excellent food too.
It's not going to be any. It's not going to be. It's just going to be kind of finger food. It's not going to be big meals or anything like that. But
food is very good too.
So just stuff to kind of munch on as you take a look around, have beverages, give you an opportunity to take a look at what we do, have an opportunity to talk to us if you have any questions or suggestions or comments or anything like that. We'd love to have you stop on by. So, again, it's coming up a week from Thursday on the 16th, so mark that calendar. Takes us some time to come on by. We'll give you an opportunity if you want to speak into the microphones, record you up, you know, do some fun things as well. And if you want the kids to be able to experience maybe what it's like to be on the radio, come on by. We'll let them sit in front of the microphones and record them as well. So, again, we'll look to have some fun, give you an opportunity to meet us, give us a chance to meet you. And just as part of this downtown revitalization and a lot of excitement going on, stop on by on October the 16th between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and even get a chance to visit with Ian Welsh.
Absolutely. And bonus, you can even try to stump me with your own a number for the day.
Yeah,
you
can do that
you
as
have
well.
A number of the day? Just any number. It doesn't have to be a number from today. Just be like any number on a topic that you can think of and see if I can guess it.
So again, mark
I'll
that calendar.
A tally sheet for all the ones I get right and wrong, and yep. Then I'll see how I do.
There you go. A week from Thursday, October the 16th, join us here for our open house at 301 North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. And again, look forward to that. I know this is not the most important thing going on, but I just got to give a few thoughts. Because,
what's going on?
Have you heard about the idea of putting Donald Trump on a $1 coin?
I have heard him talking about this.
You know, and the thing about it, I've been talking quite a bit over the last year plus, I think, about how we are coming up on the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence on July the 4th of 2026. And
a very important anniversary.
Well, the whole thing about it is a lot of the joy is being sucked out of it with things like this. If you go back and go on YouTube or just go back and read up on like the bicentennial, 1976, the 200th anniversary. And it was truly a celebration. And there was reasons why it might not have been a celebration. That was right in the aftermath of the Watergate scandal that saw the first ever president of the United States resign his office. But in the end, the country came together and had a glorious summer of 1976. Even during the midst of an election year, people were still able to celebrate the 200th birthday of our country and do it in a big way, in a positive way. I get the sense that I'm sure we will have great celebrations, but with what Donald Trump and the MAGA movement is doing to our country right now, I just have a hard time thinking that when you see this totalitarian regime that keeps pushing, trying to push as much as they can, that somehow we're going to celebrate the greatest republic and democracy in this world's history, while at the same time, many of what we have built this country on is being peeled away. It's a dichotomy I can't see happening right now. And this, okay, and even yesterday, the Trump administration yesterday, according to a story in the New York Times, defended its plan to mint a $1 coin bearing the image of Donald J. Trump, despite the fact that an 1866 law dictates that only the deceased can appear on U.S. currency. Initial designs for the coins released by the U.S. Treasurer last week stirred controversy and accusations that the Trump administration was violating the law, what's new there, so that Mr. Trump could honor himself by putting his face on the coin. The 1866 law enshrined a tradition that individuals could appear on U.S. currency only posthumously to avoid the appearance that America was a monarchy. And again, the line that jumps out is, Mr. Trump could honor himself by putting his face on a coin. At what point?
It's the only reason why he's doing this. He's not trying to honor anyone else except himself. He's trying to inflate his own ego. That's all this is an egotistical play.
And what about the people that continue to enable this? Do you folks out there that believe in what Donald Trump believes in think this is a good thing? Do you really think this is a good thing? I don't understand the constant lines that are crossed by Trump, his supporters, and the folks in this administration. Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, said that he thinks that this is good because with designs emblematic of the United States and that the proposed images reflect Mr. Trump and his vision for America. It's not about Trump. It's about our country in the 250th anniversary. It's not about Donald Trump. That's the bottom line. The 250th birthday of the country is about the United States of America.
People need to understand that.
We got an information update coming up. We'll be back for our final WXCO morning report at 8:22 this morning. More Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio,
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Sick outs are mounting and the transportation secretary is warning air traffic controllers to keep working despite the government shutdown now entering its seventh day. This woman got stuck at the airport in Denver.
We're coming from Nashville, and so we already had like a 2.5 hour flight. That one was delayed, and then this one is further delayed. We just want to go home.
The Supreme Court takes up a Christian counselor's challenge to a Colorado law banning conversion therapy for teenagers. CBS's Jan Crawford.
The Trump administration is supporting the therapist here. She says the law violates her free speech. But Colorado says it's not about speech. States can regulate the practice of health professionals.
A pilot, a nurse, and a paramedic are in critical condition after a medical helicopter crashed on a highway in Sacramento, California. Fire Chief Justin Sylvia.
The lucky portion for us, I'd say, is the fact that the helicopter did not catch on fire, because then we would have an additional problem.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.